Good to see everyone today, and we're thankful our brethren here and also out hearing us on the FM. I invite you to get a Bible. In a moment, we'll be studying together from the passage that Brother Steve read for us. I appreciate Tyler leading us in our songs and the spirit with which they were sung by each one, and now our opportunity to spend a little time in God's Word. I add my word of welcome to our visitors. We're glad that you're here. Good to see you again, and we look forward to continuing to be encouraged by your presence and hope that we can do the same for you. Tonight we'll meet at 6 o'clock. Hope you can come back and join us then. Brother Kyle read a passage there at the beginning this morning from John chapter 6, and it really is a good lead-in to some of our studies, as well as the songs that Brother Tyler's led us in about Revive Us. In John 6, as Brother Kyle mentioned, he read a passage about Jesus describing the bread of God. Israel had received manna daily from heaven for 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness. It had sustained their lives. It had revived them in times of trial being weary. And yet that was not the bread of God that Jesus wanted, or that God wanted people to focus on. When Jesus mentioned that to those people, they said, "Well, Lord, give us this bread always." He said, "I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." And he goes on to describe himself as the living bread, the one who gives life from the death of sin. If you're not a Christian this morning, we want you to understand that God has sent bread from heaven to give you life, to revive you, resuscitate your soul, to be saved, redeemed from your sins through the blood of His Son who died on the cross for you, for me, and for the whole world. We want to encourage you to contemplate upon that. Recognize the benefit and blessing of that great sacrifice and of the nourishment, the life that is given by Jesus. And we urge you to respond in faith to receive that life, even as we offer God's invitation after this study. Or as Christians, let's realize that we are to be partaking of the bread of God that comes from heaven, the living bread, every day of our lives. That we have made that decision in faith, repenting, and being baptized to become a Christian in the first place. But we need to be sustained by that bread, by Jesus. And so the lesson about revive is both one for one who is dead in sin, and as well as for the Christian, the disciple of Jesus, who is seeking to flourish anew, to be renewed and strengthened and revitalized in our faith. The word revive means to cause to live again, or to flourish anew. I just had a picture come into my mind of when you pour water on something that's been dried out. I don't know why, Steve, I'm thinking about dried apples, right? We were talking about before. But we add water to something, it gives it life. It renews it. We do that with food. We do that with plants. The idea of revive is just that, is to revitalize and invigorate. Sometimes it's used in the idea of rescuing. Psalm 143 and in verse 11, the Word of God says, "Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble." And you see the Hebrew parallelism. He has one statement, then he inverts it, and so that the "revive me" in the first part of that sentence is "bring my soul out of trouble" at the end. So reviving is rescuing from trouble. It's bringing life where there is death. It's the same word is used when Elijah resurrected the widow's son from the dead. It said he revived. He was dead and he revived. So the idea of revive us again is to reinvigorate us, to revive me, O Lord, to renew me, to rescue me. If I'm dead in sin, I need life. The bread from heaven can give that life, Jesus. And if I'm following Jesus, to not be weary in doing good. Galatians 6:9, as we had on our chart at the beginning. In fact, as 2 Thessalonians 3 also says, and in verse 13, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 13th verse says something very similar. It says, as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. The doing good is good. Don't grow weary in it. Don't become lethargic. Don't become apathetic. Sinners need to be revived out of the death of sin, and Christians, at times, we need to be revived out of apathy and laziness and lethargy and lukewarmness. Jesus warned us, didn't he? He warned the church at Laodicea. He said, I know your works, that you're neither cold or hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And that's a graphic picture warning us of our need to be hot in our faith, as it were. To not be cold, not be lukewarm, not become negligent and apathetic. To revive us again. Hebrews 6:11 and 12 speaks to the similar point, that God wants us to not become sluggish. Don't be sluggish in our faith. And so, it's a daily assessment. It's a daily responsibility. And the Word of God urges us to recognize that God is the one who can revive us. He's the source of the revival. His Son is the bread, the living bread that gives life from the death of sin and sustains our life with God day by day. Look at Psalm 138 with me, please, verses 7 and 8. This study is intended to fortify our faith and strengthen and renew us in our faith and our resolve and our commitment, our devotion, and as well as to encourage those lost in sin to be saved. That the gospel is all about that. It's about gaining life from death. Psalm 138, 7 and 8. The psalm says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. The source is God. We don't revive ourselves. We don't lift ourselves up out of spiritual death. You know, I know, you know, the purely humanistic approach is you're the answer to all your troubles, and you just need to focus on yourself. You need to learn who your authentic self is. You need to figure out who you are and then be that person, and that will invigorate you, and that'll revive you, and that'll give you all the happiness of life. Don't you believe it? Oh, there's some good to that, I suppose, to a degree, but no, it's God that's going to revive us out of sin, death and sin and death. He's the giver of life. You didn't give yourself life. I didn't give myself life. How do you think ourselves are the answer to what life is about? No, the psalmist reminds us, and he says, I'm in the middle of trouble. Well, figure it out. Just figure it out. You got yourself in, you get yourself out. Aren't you glad God's more merciful than that? Sometimes we think that way about ourselves and about other people, though, don't we? You got yourself in that trouble, you get yourself out. Well, praise be to God, He didn't think that way about us. He sent His Son, because we couldn't get ourselves out of the mess. And we need each other to help each other get ourselves out of messes sometimes. Not to remove personal responsibility, not in the least. But look what the psalmist David said here. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. I mean, there's trouble around me. You will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. Well, you shouldn't have gone there in the first place, David. No, he was fighting the Lord's battles, and there were enemies around him. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. He saw God as the source of life and sustaining him in the midst of trouble. God told Israel hundreds of years later, when they were taken into captivity by Babylon, that he would raise the nation from the dead. The valley of dry bones. Remember, Ezekiel was in this valley of bones and they were very dry. And God asked him, can they live again? And he said, you know, O Lord. And in this vision of the dry bones, the flesh, the sinew begins to come together and the flesh upon the bones, and they begin to become bodies. And then God breathes life into them. He resurrected the nation Israel when it looked like they were dead. They were finished, kaput, by Assyria and Babylon. But God brought a remnant back, and from that remnant brought His Son, Jesus, into the world to give life to every soul that's dead in sin who will believe and follow Him. Now, God's the source of revival in every way. Jesus is described as the resurrection and the life in John 11. Remember, Martha's brother Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And in John the 11th chapter, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know, Lord. I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Martha, do you believe that there'll be a bodily resurrection? And if you'll live and believe in me, you'll never die? See, that's the spiritual life. Bodily resurrection and life from spiritual death. She said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. The bread of God, the living bread, bringing life. Resurrect us out of the death of sin and resurrects our body in the future. He's going to resurrect every one of our dead bodies on the last great day. But He gives us life now from the death of sin, so that when we're resurrected, it will be unto eternal life. That's God's plan. That's God as the source of our revival. We can live, although in sin we are dead. John 5:25, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you that this hour is coming, and now is. The hour is now when the dead will hear the words of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. He's talking about those spiritually dead in that verse. You're dead because of sin, but if you'll hear my word, my voice, you'll live. Receive it. Follow it. Eat the bread that comes from heaven. Partake of Jesus and you'll have life. And so when we take advantage of, when we are the recipients of God's revival, this reviving of our souls out of spiritual death and just the flourishing of our spiritual lives, it declares that God is righteous and declares that God is powerful to accomplish that. Look, go back to Psalm 143 and verse 11. We read it earlier. The verse said, revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. Not for my sake, but for your name's sake. For the power that you possess. For who you are. For your righteousness' sake. Because you are just. Because you are holy. Revive me. Bring my soul out of trouble. God is declared righteous. God is declared and vindicated every time a soul is revived out of sin and sustained by the living bread of His Son. Let's go back to the psalm that Steve read for us in Psalm 119. Look at that passage and see three things that God uses to revive us. The first is His Word. Psalm 119 and verse 154 said, plead my cause and redeem me, revive me according to your Word. This is said a couple of other times in this same psalm. In verse 27 of Psalm 119. Verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. So here's a person overwhelmed with depression, with sorrow, with doubt, with trials. My soul, I'm in the dust. Revive me. Resuscitate me. Invigorate me according to your word. Look again at verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. God speaks and life is brought into the person's life. Verse 37, it doesn't use the same exact same term, but the concept is here. Turn away. Oh, it does, in fact. I'm sorry, but it not his word. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. God's word reveals God's way, God's path. So help me to turn away from the things that are worthless and keep me from your path. Revive me by your word. And so what do we try to impress upon a person that we're teaching the gospel? Is that Jesus is the only way of salvation. For example, we're not revived and saved from sin by our morality. Morality is good, it's important, but it can't save us from our sins. Moral people need the gospel. Good people around us need the gospel because they're still lost in sin. Acts 10, Cornelius is the example. God's word does the invigorating, brings the life. Not our religious experience. Not what our ancestors are or what we've been in the past. That doesn't revive us again. Paul had a lot of religious experience, but it didn't save him. Philippians 3, 4 through 7. In fact, he said the things that I count that were gained to me, I've counted lost for Christ. I mean, he was greatly active in the Jewish faith, in the Hebrew faith. He circumcised the eighth day, stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He was zealous. He had a lot of things going for him as a Jew in his religious experience, but none of it saved him. None of that revived his soul. We can't rely on where we've been in our past religiously to say, well, that's enough. That's okay. But a lot of folks are tempted to. We can't be tempted that way. We've got to go beyond that. We've got to recognize that that's not what saves us. You know, our emotions don't save us either. You know, we can have a strong emotion about God, but that doesn't save us. That doesn't mean we're revived by God and by the Word of God. Look at Hebrews 13:17 of Esau. It said, you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. I think what he diligently sought was the inheritance. He cried because he didn't have his inheritance, but there was no room found for repentance. It takes more than emotion. He had emotion about that. He wanted his inheritance. Well, people want heaven emotionally. But if there's no room for repentance, there's not going to be a revival. There's not going to be a salvation. We've got to put emotion in its place and let God's Word be the source of revival. Then our emotions well up within us with joy and admiration to God, thanksgiving to God. You know, just wanting to be saved, just desiring it is not enough. Doesn't make it so. The young ruler that came to Jesus, who was very wealthy, rich, Matthew the 19th chapter, what he said, "What good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And, well, as Jesus talked to him about good, about God being good, we find out that this young man had kept God's commands. He said, "What do I still lack?" He said, "One thing, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and come follow me, and you'll have treasures in heaven." The one thing was, you see, his heart was given to his possessions rather than to God. He wanted eternal life. He said he wanted it. But that didn't mean he had it. And he walked away sorrowful. He walked away from Jesus. That'd be a good lesson somebody put together sometime. The people who walked away from Jesus. You guys work that up. That'd be a good study. Well, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven. What's that song? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Just having a good conscience doesn't make it so either. I mean, we need to keep a good conscience. The Bible teaches us that. But a good conscience is not the saving factor. It's not. That doesn't mean God has revived us just because I've kept a good conscience. Paul had kept a good conscience, but he was a sinner against Jesus. Acts 23:1. So, God, revive me according to your word. Let us, when Jesus displayed himself as the bread, the living bread that comes from heaven, and he said, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. You've got to hear my words and believe in me. They didn't grasp, a lot of them didn't grasp it, and here's another one. They walked away from him. They complained and walked away. There's another one. So, if we want spiritual revival, renewal, salvation, rescuing from God, we've got to go to His Word and let Him show us that rescue. We've got to go to Jesus, His truth. He's the Word. And let Him show us that path to revival. Go back to the Psalm, Psalm 119 and verse 156. And it says, revive me according to your judgments. It says, great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. The New American Standard that Steve read for says ordinances. God's ordinances. Now, a lot of people don't like to think about God having ordinances to follow. But He does. His judgments are true and righteous altogether, Psalm 19 and verse 9 says. We sing that song, don't we? Look at verses 39 and 40 in this same Psalm. 39 and 40. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Again, the idea of revival, renewal, resuscitation, invigoration, life in God's righteousness, which reveals good judgments, good ordinances. When God's Word teaches us something that God wants of us, it's good. And it's for our good. And our faith is in that. And that's where we're revived. When we'll accept that. When we'll accept that what the Bible says is good. Not what the world says. Not what I want. Not what others are doing. But what the Bible says. What God's Word says. Because He is righteous and it's a righteous Word. His ordinances are true and upright, that's where we find revival. John 5:22, Jesus, before that discussion about being the bread that comes from heaven, He has said in John 5:22, the Father judges no one but has committed all judgment to the Son. Now we think about that in terms of the last day, but that last day judgment is going to be on the basis of His Word. His decisions that He's revealed to us, John 12:48. And so God's Word can invigorate and give us life as we allow it to penetrate our hearts, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. So, if we want God to revive us again, then we commit ourselves to living by His ordinances. By His revealed judgments. James called it the perfect law of liberty. We look into it and we become a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. He said, we'll be blessed in the doing. God's judgments, God's law revive us, strengthen and renew us if we will turn in faith to them and live by them, walk in that path. And thirdly, the Psalm says, revive me according to your mercies. Verse 159. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness or your mercy. Look at verse 88. Again, it says, revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. You know, when all this is said and done, without the mercy of God, we'd stay dead in our sins. For by grace have you been saved through faith. God is a merciful God who extends favor to us through faith. Hearing and following the Word of Jesus. Faith without works is dead. Faith means more than just believing He's the living bread. It means not turning away from Him because of what He teaches, but following Him because He has the words of eternal life. John 6:63. God's mercy. God's grace saves us. Paul wrote to Titus in Titus 3, 4 and 5. The kindness of God, the goodness of God in His mercy and grace. Look at the reading there. Titus 3 and verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness, well, verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. God's kindness appeared. God's love appeared in the form of Jesus. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. God's kindness and love works toward our salvation. His mercy is at work. He had pity on us. Pity on us. Compassion toward us. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, that's how the salvation is applied. The faith to be baptized and thus be refreshed. Whom He poured out, and as He goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit being poured out. And so, God's goodness, God's kindness, God's mercy, God's compassion, it leads us to repentance. Romans 2 and verse 4. So, God, revive me according to your mercy. Means, as you go back to that psalm, remember, it doesn't mean I walk my own path. And God will just show me mercy, God. I it says, I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your mercy, your loving kindness. So when we, by faith, apply ourselves to the precepts of God, to the law of God, to the Word of God, then to His judgments, mercy is applied in Christ. When we believe Him and obey Him, we're saved by grace through faith. So, God revives us. He's the source because He has the power to do it. He is the righteous one to accomplish it. And our revival comes through His Word, through His judgments, and through His mercy. And yet, as we've already alluded to, there are things we have to do. We have to respond in faith to that grace we mentioned just now. Because we're dead in our sin, but there's life when we trust Him enough to obey His will. Follow Him in faith. Eat the living bread that comes down from heaven. You see, get the figure. How are you going to partake of Jesus? Try to do more than say, well, that sure looks like delicious bread over there. I believe that's bread. Yeah, that's sure enough bread over there on the table. Yeah. Sure smells good, doesn't it? If we're going to eat the bread for our body, we're going to have to actually eat it. So how are we going to eat Jesus? We're going to partake of His Word and His judgments. We're going to believe and follow them to obtain the mercy, the grace that's offered us. It's the obedient faith that saves and renews. Look at Acts 3:19. Peter said there, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that so there may come, seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Seasons of refreshing from God's presence. When you repent and be converted. Now that parallel is Acts 2:38 that says repent and be baptized. The way you partake of the bread of life is you hear His Word, you believe that He's the Son of God, and you obey Him. Repent and be baptized and then continue that life. Because now as a new creature in Christ, a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's our responsibility to be humble and contrite before God. Becoming a Christian is the beginning. It's not the end. Being baptized, well, that, what, and repenting. You know, repenting is as important as being baptized. Otherwise, you just get wet. What's repentance? Changing our heart toward God and toward sinning against God. To say, I'm going to be converted. We'll stop that and we'll live for Jesus. Be revived. See, because the way I'm living now, I'm dead. And I can't save myself. I can't revitalize myself. But Jesus can. He's the Prince of Life. That same chapter, Acts 3:15. Peter said, you killed the Prince of Life. You killed the Source of Life. But in that death, He becomes the Source of eternal life. See the paradox? God is so paradoxical and yet complete. The Prince of Life that sinners kill, raised from the dead, is the one who gives life. As we partake of Him in humility and contrition before Him, that we're broken by the weight and reality of our sin. Look at Isaiah 57:15. Thus says the High and Holy One who inhabits eternity. God's about to speak. Whose name is holy. Here's what He says. I dwell in the high and holy place with a man who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God says, I dwell with the contrite, the broken spirit, the humble spirit. That's the one I'll revive. I'll renew. I'll bring life to. And so our responsibility is to be careful that we're the humble and the contrite heart before God. Life before God. He later in Hosea, or actually same time, in Hosea 6:1-3, Hosea expands this a little bit. Look at that passage with me real quick before we conclude. Hosea, the 6th chapter. And the first 3 verses says, come and let us return to the Lord. For He has, and this is a call to Israel. For He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. Now, He had punished them for their sin against Him. But the call is a call to return. He'll heal. He'll bind up. After 2 days, He will revive us. And on the 3rd day, He will raise us up that we may live in His sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. The certainty of the Lord coming to those who will pursue His knowledge, who will return to Him. He will bind up. He will heal. He will revive. Is that you today? Is that me today? We need to be bound up, healed by the Lord, revived, renewed in our faith, invigorated again in our service, to no longer be lukewarm, but to come and take from Jesus, what, gold? He said, buy from Me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. Come and take true blessings and riches from Me. White garments, that you may be clothed. Purity, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Have your seeing healed. Have not the literal eyes, eyes of faith, that walk in purity, that lay up treasures in heaven. We need that reviving. We need that that invigorating, and we got to respond. We got to repent and pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord in our life. Not on the name of the world. Not on the name of friends, well-meaning as they might be, but on the Lord. His Word, His judgments, His mercy. Look at Psalm 80 and verses 18 and 19. The 80th Psalm. In that passage, pick up the reading there in verse 18. Then we will not turn back from You. Revive us, and we will call upon Your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause Your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Be revived. Be saved. Turn our faces back to God. Call on His name. Remember, whatever we do in word or deed, we're to do all in the name of the Lord. all respecting Him, His will and authority, His power. You can do that today. All who, you know, Saul was told to arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And he was revived out of spiritual death. And rejoice in his salvation. 85. Psalm 85, 4 through 7. Restore me, O God of our salvation, or restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? God's angry at sin. But he'll revive. Will you not revive us again? That your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, O Lord. Grant us your salvation. Surely that's what we all need. We all need God's salvation. God gave life to our bodies. He longs to give life to dead souls, to those who are lost. The Prince of Life longs to give you life, to resurrect you from the death of sin, and to set you in heavenly places with Christ. And Christians, God will revive our weary souls. Souls that have become lukewarm. Souls that have become negligent in our lives. To return to Him. To repent. Jesus said, "Whom I love, I rebuke. Therefore repent." In that same context, He loved the Laodiceans, and so He urged them to repent by telling them what the problem was, and here's the solution. God does that because His judgments are true and righteous. His ordinances, His Word reveals God's path and leads us to mercy. Won't you obey Him this morning? If you need to be saved, if you need to be revived from the death of sin, become a Christian. And if you need to be reinvigorated in faith, to have sin removed that's hindered you, or simply the renewal of our dedicated faith and service to the Lord, let's come to Him in His way, and He'll save according to His will. Let that be known while we stand and sing. Won't you come?